Karen and I are sharing the homily, and Karen will do the silent meditation when I finish and she begins her portion of the homily. So we'll go right into the homily. Okay?
Are you first or not?
Okay. You all know I walk the dogs really early. And I guess it was Wednesday at about 6:45. The first rays of the sun came up red, red, red. It was beautiful. And then patches of yellow broke through, making the light around us almost orange, tinged as we walked by the lake. When I got home, heeding that light and a winter weather advisory, I canceled our theater date for Thursday, our dinner reservation for Thursday, and the hotel room we had reserved for Thursday in Pittsburgh. I didn't want to rough the ice that we were going to have. It was pouring rain on Thursday in Pittsburgh, but it was icy, icy, icy in Tyonesta. True to the sailor's limerick, the red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And Thursday just dawned dark, dark, dark. So I felt relieved that I had made the right decision. The truck was covered in ice, as were the branches of the trees, so we didn't go to the lake that day. We just walked down the driveway. The wonder present the day before at the red-orange light, I wondered on Thursday whether I had time to go back to bed because it was so dark. Just hide under the covers. Light plays such an important role in our lives, especially at this time of year when there is so much less of it. It affects our mood, seasonal depression. It affects how we consider things. Fire becomes cozy rather than dangerous. Cozy when it's contained in a fireplace and we are nestled near it with a book or a glass of wine. I believe to some extent that the religions of the world have consorted to lighten the skies at this time of year to create wonder, anticipation, and joy. The festival of lights, as Hanukkah is sometimes called, is a very minor holiday in the scheme of things. It's not in the Bible, like Purim or Passover. It was originally the story just of Judah and the Maccabees fighting off the Syrian ruler, whose name I can't pronounce either, in 168 BCE. This Syrian ruler had banned Judaism and had destroyed the Second Temple. And it was the story of a fight and a winning and a little bit of nationalism, a small group of Jews winning against a minor leader, a major leader, mighty, I guess. It wasn't until several centuries after the Apocrypha that the legend of the small jar of oil that the Maccabees used to reconsecrate the temple is mentioned in the Talmud. When it's mentioned, they command every Jewish house to light the lights, put them in the window, and celebrate the miracle of the oil. In every Jewish house of worship, there is an Ark of the Covenant. It's a box or a cabinet that holds the Torah. It's usually right in the middle where the organ is here. And always, always, there's a light above it that's on all the time. So in the story, what happened was, after the Maccabees won the temple, they wanted to relight the Ark of the Covenant. And they found a very small jar of oil that they thought would last only one day. And they sent off people to go gather oil and bring it. And the oil, the miracle of the oil and the light, is that it lasted 8 days until the replacement was brought, so that they could keep the light over the ark on all the time. It's a little bit like Ukraine today, you know, where everybody is in darkness and they spend all this time and money recreating their systems so that they can relight the city and give everybody warmth. So anyway, the 8 days of the Festival of Lights, or the Feast of Dedication, was founded. And there is some thought that it's mentioned in John that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah at one point in time. Okay. So it's not a holiday that you celebrate in church or in synagogue. It's a holiday that you celebrate at home, a celebration of games and presents. We light the menorah, we play games, we sing, although I don't sing because I can't hold a tune. We eat a festive meal together and perhaps exchange presents. The menorah represents the 8 days the jar of oil lasted. It contains 8 candles, plus the one in the middle that lights the others. And on the first night, you light one. On the second night, you light two. On and on, until on the last night, you have all 8 lights of the menorah burning bright. You load the menorah from the right to the left, and you light it from the left to the right. All in all, you should use 45 candles on the 8 nights. I always miss sunset for some reason, so I always wind up with extra candles every year because I forget here and there. The prayer you say as you light the candles is basically the same one used for lighting Sabbath candles or any other candles at home. In English, "Praise be thou, O Lord our God, ruler of the world, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and bidden us to kindle the Hanukkah lights." In Hebrew, it's Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddishanu b'mitzvasof ner shel Hanukkah. I think it's a weird holiday. But it's a family holiday, and it's a holiday at home, and it's a nice holiday. I don't think that we'll ever solve the mysteries, why it's not in the Bible, and why we celebrate it, and why we give presents. But I love that the holiday brings light and life and brightness into the darkness. And I love sharing what Hanukkah is all about with you. And now I'm going to take a minute and light the first candle of the menorah. It doesn't seem very bright now, but at the end of 8 days, it really is very, very light. Thank you.
Good morning. When you do a service whether you're musicians or sound technicians or the minister or anyone who's here, it takes many twists and turns. You know, I know from sitting, when I'm sitting in the pulpit, it just seems like everything just flows and it's boom. It doesn't. It goes all over. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what happened with this for me. At some point, I volunteered to do, here it is. At first, I thought Alex was doing this service, but he isn't. So then I volunteered to do the service. And then I wasn't sure what to do, so I talked to Alex. And at one point, there was possibility of a black magic woman even being part of the music. And it just went and went. And then I knew where I was going. I had it all lined out in my head. And last week, Josh spoke about the solar panels and about sun and light and did a beautiful job and gave us history and background and brought in other religions. And then Joyce sent me what she was saying. I had nothing. So we start again. I started again. So this is where I turned when turns were required. And it's kind of a hodgepodge. And because it's this service of light, which for me is kind of about new beginnings, I decided to take a leap. And I don't have mine written out word for word. I have a lot of stuff here, but I'm going to try and talk to you from my notes rather than reading my prepared service, so I beg your indulgence. I have always loved solstice, and you know solstice is they're the four seasonal holidays. There are two solstices, one when there's more light and less dark in the summer. The other solstice is here when there's more dark and less light, and then there are the two equinoxes when we are balanced in light and dark in the spring and the fall. And I realized that, like when I sit here for a service, I kind of see what happens right then and there, and I don't really think about the whole thing. So I started reading about the four days of equinox and solstice, and it totally transformed for me. I found somewhere where it was called the divine circuit or the heavenly circuit, and when I was done reading and contemplating it, it became for me the dance of light. I have friends, some of them here today, who are dancers who have frequently inspired me about movement. I'm a Tai Chi player, and there's always flow and movement. And I felt the flow of the planet, of Earth, and it's a certainty we count on. You know, you go to bed at night, there'll be light in the morning. The light leaves and it's night, and those are certainties, certainly Earth certainties. I don't know, universal. We frequently, if something's of the Earth, we call it universal. Well, okay. So, and we think about all the other planets and the tilt of the Earth, the rotation of the 24 hours, the revolution around the sun, and all of that combines to make this celestial dance, which we participate in or observe or not every day and every year of our lives. And they have all taken on, each one of those has taken on different meaning and different significance, and I'll just touch really lightly on that. I'm not sure where you want to begin. For me, I begin with winter solstice. But as I looked at them, I first found the spring equinox, which is considered the beginning of energetic opportunity, one of the phrases I found, the beginning of regenerating abundance. And you know, if you think of the four solstices and equinoxes as part of the planting and harvest, you know, that things begin to grow in the spring. Budding happens. We know we're going to come into the blooming and the blossoming of the summer equinox. Spirits alive, renewed, energized, fully awake, where there's warmth, fertility, growth, flowering, and blooming. Then we move into the fall. Where we have, again, light and dark in balance, and we be harvesting agriculturally, but this is also where we begin in some of the metaphors for the seasons, harvest our goals and harvest our intentions and begin to let go of what is not needed. You know, in the fall, we harvest the crops and we bring them in, and then we also cut back everything and we put it to bed. And then we go into winter solstice, which is coming this coming week. And it is not part of what is frequently called the active principles of life. And sometimes people go in the opposites of active and passive. But for me, it's active and receptive. And when we go into winter, we can go into introspection. We can go into reflection to really begin to feel who we are and where we want to go. Sitting in peace in the darkness of unknowing was one phrase I found that just really resonated for me. So when I saw that, all four of those, there it was again. Light and balance and dark and balance, this beautiful celestial dance that is the dance of the solar system, is the dance of the earth, and it is also the dance of each of us. So I began to look for then phrases. What was the metaphorical, symbolic, or spiritual phraseology of light? And I've shared a few of those in the dance of the solstices and equinoxes. And what came to me was, first of all, light literally sustains life. If this was a lightless planet, it would simply be frigid, barren, destitute, and lifeless. It is one of the necessary elements and forces which makes physical material life possible on this planet. And then those phrases that I had found began to just resonate for me. And where it took me was, if light, this I had to write, I couldn't hold this. If light sustains light, literally being alive, how else does light, in all its metaphors and meanings, also sustain us? With hope, the power and promise of possibilities, especially in difficulties, in our darknesses, with illumination and guidance, which lights our path, helps us find our way, often not only outwardly directed, but also with some inner knowing, helping us to find our own deeper wisdom, the lights of our own truths, the connection to that which is greater, which leads us to openness, to the things beyond our knowing, even the miraculous, which might not even be miracles if our own knowing was deep enough and wide enough to discern more than we think we know. And light provides guidance which leads us inward to our own light, the deepest understandings of our own selves, the source of our wisdom and our connection to all. Which took me then to several questions, which I'd like to pose to you now and then do our silent meditation and let you sit with all that has been offered thus far this morning, these questions, the beautiful words that have been spoken, the beautiful music that has been performed, our gathering here together and knowing where we are in our own seasonal dance in the world and in ourselves. So what are your heavenly circuits? What are the circuits of your, and the dance and the circling and turning of your being? And if the light pours down on us, what is the light within you? Is it joy? Happiness? Love? Understanding? Comprehension? Compassion? And how do you generate and sustain your light? So with that, just get comfortable. Close your eyes if you choose. And let's just sit with that and see what arises for you in these moments. And so this morning, I'd like to conclude with a couple words from other authors, one in particular, and then pose something to you. This is from Mary Oliver's book of poetry, House of Light. I want to believe I am looking into the white fire of a great mystery. I want to believe that the imperfections are nothing, that the light is everything, that it is more than the sum of each flawed blossom rising and fading. And from another poem of hers, where she starts the poem, "Make of yourself a light," said the Buddha before he died. So perhaps you can do your own cosmic dance if you allow the feeling of light pouring down, inner light rising up, and the meeting and merging of those two, the outer light of the world, the inner light of yourself, and when that happens, may you radiate that out into the world. Blessed be.